All right. Kind of like I do two steps forward, one step back a lot of times. There's just so much in the Bible about all this subject. We're still on the family and children and training. I want to give you some things here. Go to Job chapter 5 this morning. Job chapter 5. Modern psychology will tell you not to train your children in the means of which the Bible lays out for us to do. So I want you to show up. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Okay. If you look at the dates, if you have any dates, Job was something penned even before Moses wrote Genesis. And so I heard a message last week by my brother Sam Gipp. He preached out of the book of Job. Really good message. Heard him down in, I think it's Grove City down there. I went down for a Monday night to catch up with him, see how he's doing. But anyways, preach a good message out of the book of Job. But Job is where this we're gonna begin with this morning. It's where it comes from. Look at Job chapter 5. Look at verse number 17. It says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Now that verse is going to go in a lot of different places in the scriptures. We'll look at those quickly. But listen, was Job being corrected for something he did wrong in the book of Job? He was not. So I have to remind you of that, but he brings up this adage here of correction, and happy is the man whom God correcteth. And you think about it, that's you look at that, it's like, what in the world is he talking about? You're happy because you're getting corrected? Yeah, that's what the Bible's setting the precedent here for this, the thought of correction. This idea we've been talking about for the last several weeks on training, it's important. It'd be different if your children were born perfect, right? And sinless and no problems, all that. The problem that was started in the garden with Adam and Eve, that sin entered into the world by one man. The problem with it is that sin brought all the ramifications of the need for training. And so Job here is talking about these things. He says, happy is the man whom God corrected. You know, happiness is connected with correction. That's what he's talking about. And we're going to get into some things a little later on this morning here that go hand in hand with those things. Correction is so needful in this day and age for children because it leaves them in a position when they're not corrected it mentally and emotionally and psychological aspect, it hurts the child. And we'll see that in a minute. But if you want happiness in a child, you want happiness in any relationship, there is correction that has to be made. Therefore, he says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Again, Solomon picks this up. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon picks up on what Job has put down. And so he's going to bring it to bear again here. Look at Proverbs chapter number 3. Parents have a hard time with disciplining children. They really do. They struggle with that in our day and age. They don't get any Bible training. They don't get the Bible's input on how to do these things. And so some of this might be a review for a lot of you. Some it might not. But if you're going to have kids or have kids now, these things are applicable to you and I. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse number 11 and 12. My son, this is Solomon in reference to his son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, again, love is connected with it, he correcteth, even as the father, the son, in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. So the paragraph there is verse number 11 in your Bible. That's the beginning of a paragraph. And then you have another paragraph after verse 11, 12. It has to do with being happy. Happiness is connected again with correction. It's connected with chastisement. It's connected with those things. And so he says, you know, don't be weary of that thing. All right. Let's go to the New Testament. Again, it's Paul takes it over here. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I'm just giving you the Bible perspective on these things. People don't like the Bible because the Bible tells us how to. I mean, you think about it. If anybody knew the psyche of man the best, that would be God. When people get rid of God, they get rid of creation or creationism, and there's no God involved. They can take the Bible and they kick it to the curb. The author of the Bible is God. So God's inspired men. He told men, all right, here's what I want you to write. Moses wrote what happened back in Genesis chapter 1. Moses wasn't around, but God told him what to write down. And so we have the scriptures. And again, you see it time and time again. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 5. Number 5. Look at, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. So you have Job talking about it. You have Solomon writing about it. Now you have Paul writing about it here. You have all these different authors. God, three times God puts the thing in the book. What for? So you get hold of it. The Old Testament was written for our admonition, for our learning. So those things you saw in the Old Testament, they're still applicable today. Child rearing or child training or chastising, as Paul puts it here, are all for your betterment. Modern psychology says, you'll cripple that child if you tell or you do those things. He says, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked to him. Solomon said, weary. Paul saying he is faint. Look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, what? He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now the world's going to tell you different. Modern psychology is going to tell you different. This is what God says. God says, no. He says, you know, he chasteneth every son whom he loveth. He scourgeth every one whom he receiveth. Look at verse number 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had our fathers of our flesh, which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So this whole thing is important to understand. It's one of those things that is really, really what we're striving for. Look and give you another one. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms chapter 94. Psalms chapter 94. You know what the devil's going to try to do through the world and the way the world does is, you know, when a parent has to discipline that child and apply that rod of correction there and done the right way. We've talked about that. There's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. You don't make correction with the rod out of anger. Listen, if you're upset with your kids and their actions, you have to own that, right? If done correctly, it'll be as God intended it to be. Look at here in Psalms chapter 94. Psalms chapter 94. Look down there in verse number 12. We talked about happiness is connected with this thing. But look at this. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. So not only does it produce happiness, it produces a blessedness when you're chastened of the Lord and God teaches you out of the law. That's a blessed place to be. Listen, you think about it this way. The worst thing God, and I preach about this a lot, talk about it in the pulpit when we're preaching, but one of the worst things that can happen to a Christian is when God leaves you alone, when you can't take it. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. So if you can't handle the chastisement, as Paul talks about in Hebrews chapter number 12, you want to put that thing aside, you don't want to do it, you're not going to be blessed of God, because corrections have to be made. You know, they just had that crash on the Potomac there with that helicopter and the jet, and then they had another one flip over. You know, the aviation board, they go out and they look at every accident that ever happens. You know, they get the black box and they try to get all the information and they take all the pieces, parts, and they lay it out. They always are trying to find out what caused an accident in the airline industry. You know why? So it doesn't happen again. And you have to correct whatever the pilot error? Is it a bad system or a bad something going on with the actual plane itself? They've had here in the last year and a half, they had a door fall off a plane that blew off. Well, that's problematic. What happened? Well, it's like my wife's car. I mean, brand new car, and how many bolts were in the tranny? 20 bolts in the transmission, only two of them are tightened the way they're supposed to be tightened. The rest of 18 weren't. You come home, there's a big pile of transmission fluid on the driveway. Well, they need to find out what's going on down there on the assembly line, right? How many transmissions? And the guy who did that did another transmission on the same. You know, we do these things. Doctors have better practice. They learn how to do things better. Why? They have to look at something, analyze it, and correct their mistakes. But when it comes to kids, people don't want to do that. No, they won't. According to God, they won't. You leave them alone, he calls them bastards. That's what he calls them. Hebrews chapter. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. So God, who knows mankind, who put us together, he knows the psychological need. He knows all those things of a child. And he says, this is what you need to do. Now you can take it or leave it. Take a leave. You want a hard time? Let your kids be wild. Let them just run wild like a bunch of dogs. You let them do that. You'll go crazy as a parent. You'll be frustrated. You'll be upset. You'll be mad. You're like, I can't wait till these kids. I've heard parents do that with those types of kids that when they're 14 and 15. I hear those parents say this stuff. I can't wait until you're 18. I can't wait till you move out of my house and get out. Well, you created them. You let them do absolutely nothing. You did no correction, none of those sort of things. And so, this idea of being blessed when you apply those things, I got a verse here. Go to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15. Now, I think if I were to pull all the older couples in here this morning, they're going to say, I could have done a little bit better. I don't think there's any parent doesn't bat a thousand. Nobody does. But if you at least try to apply the best way you know how, I mean, have I gotten upset or frustrated when I have had to spank one of my kids? Yeah. And what am I saying? I'm not supposed to do that. You're walking around in this same thing. I remember Jason talking about it. I think in one of the messages he preached, he said, you're dealing with your kids and you're disciplining your kids. And the Lord's going, well, what about you? I never liked those conversations. Those are no fun. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Look here in verse number, this thought of idea and being left alone. Look at verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. So, this is the disciples, and notice they're coming to Christ in verse number 12, and he said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. He's saying, you know what, there are some people at some point, the Bible talks about a heretic after the first and second admonition to do what? Leave them alone. I know parents, we were talking some folks down there in Columbus, and you look at their children raised in church, all that kind of stuff, and then you got kids who haven't been in church in 20 years. Is that the parents' fault? I don't think so. That child decided, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take off. And so this thought, and I want to give you those, so you had them in your notes, but this idea of chastisement, this idea of training a child are biblically sound. That's why we're giving them to you. Modern churches don't want to put any of this stuff out. They don't want to talk about this stuff. These are things that most guys I know that they do anything on sermon audio and that kind of stuff, they had to delete it and cut it out. They don't want the ramifications to it. So it's one of those things, you're dealing with children. So if you're not going to discipline in the manner in which the scriptures tell us, what will happen is when you, and I made mention of these things last week, the insecurities in a child, the anger, the self-pity, the agitation in the child, all those things. And modern day parents try to lecture those things out. They try to take away this or take away privileges. It's like Catholics in the month of Lent, where they, I'm not going to do this for a whole month, and it's usually something stupid. But when you try to operate in the world's agenda and how the world does things, that produces a provocation to anger in that child. That's what it does. Because what I want to address this morning is this thought or idea of guilt. Where does, think about it this morning, where does guilt come from? Where does guilt come from? And let me help you this way. guilt is one of those things that's connected to a conscience, right? God gave man a conscience, right? When he made man, he gives him a conscience. That conscience tells a man, it's a guide, if you will, apart from scripture, right? Apart from the spirit of God that takes residence in a Christian. But you look at a guy like Job, he was directed by conscience a lot of times. These guys are directed that way. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 1, it deals with those that don't have the word of God, but their conscience bearing witness, right? Showing what they see in nature, what they see in the world. So guilt is connected to conscience. When a man or a woman breaks what their conscience tells them is wrong, then they have a problem with guilt. And guilt is one of those things. It's like when we teach in discipleship. We teach on sin in discipleship. What to do with sin. A newborn babe in Christ doesn't know what to do with their sin. Listen, after you get saved, you are still a sinner in that aspect of you're going to continue to sin day in, day out. Technically speaking, you're in Christ. You're a son of God. You're no longer a sinner. Practically speaking, you still sin, though. You still sin. And that sin, if left unchecked, that sin, if not confessed, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A newborn babe, if he's never been shown that verse, doesn't know, like, all right, I'm still sinning, so what do I do with my sins? Well, you have to confess them, right? So what happens to a babe in Christ who never grows, who's never taught or instructed in the scriptures, right? That's why we like discipleship around here. Discipleship gives you those basic building blocks, right, to help you grow in Christ. But, you know, that new babe in Christ has to be trained or taught or shown those things in the scriptures. So they go, oh, okay, so when I sin, I have to get rid of that sin. Because there comes a point in a babe, in a Christian, a young Christian's life where they realize they're still sinning, and now there's a guilt connected to that. And how do I relieve the guilt? And the picture we see in the scriptures when it comes to this idea of guilt. Guilt is a feeling of responsibility for wrongdoing. That's what it is. It's only an indicator of an underlying problem. That's what it is. So guilt shows up. And it's one of those things that has to be dealt with. Guilt needs a spanking to make the payment for the wrongdoing. That helps a child to eliminate guilt. In other words, the guilt shows up and says, I did something wrong. But God's incorporated the discipline or the rod of correction there. And what that rod of correction does is it's a payment toward that wrongdoing that allows guilt to be relieved of. Does that make sense to you this morning? I'm trying to make sense to you. When a child never gets corrected, it's a picture. I mean, here's the ultimate picture is Christ on the cross. He dies for the sin of mankind. How do you get it fixed? Well, I have to go to Christ. I can't go to a religion. I can't go to works. I can't go to things. I have to go. Salvation is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I get free of my sin? By taking the atonement that Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. It's a picture of as that child gets disciplined. I've done something wrong. I sped down the highway. I'm doing 85 and a 65. Well, I have to pay the consequences. And you know, when I pay the consequence and I pay the ticket, all right, my point of contention with the law is now taken care of because I paid the ticket. Most people don't consider that a child has a conscience, and generally that conscience is usually better than your conscience because you're an adult. You've kind of seared it a little bit, right? We've cooked it a little bit. That child, when they do something wrong, they know they've done something wrong, and there's a guilt complex or a guilt connected to that that needs to be adjusted, and the only way it gets adjusted is through discipline. And that's the picture is, as that child realizes, I'm guilty. I've got guilt. I did this. And now there's a payment to that. It helps that child when they get to the place when they stand before, I'm guilty before God because I'm a sinner. And how do I get that guilt resolved? Well, I've got to pay for that, or redemption, right? Christ paid for it for me. And I can take that. And that helps that whole thing to come in play. That helps that child to understand it. But so a child has to have their guilt eliminated. That's a good thing. It will lend to the desire to be free of guilt and right with God. That's what that'll help them with. Guilt left to itself will wreak havoc in a child. I've heard children say things like nobody likes me. You ever hear kids say that? I can never do anything right. Well, that child is condemning themselves. Why? They have guilt. There's guilt somewhere. You've done something wrong and the guilt is there. Guilt is just the outward facade of the underlying factor. What's the factor? You've done something wrong. Guilt doesn't show up. Where there's no knowledge of the law, there's no guilt. That's why a child, when they're 3 and 4, you know, and mommy and daddy say, don't do this and don't do that, they break the law of mommy and they break the law of daddy. And there's a guilt connection because that the authority part is there in that child. And so children, they do those things. They get to those places where they need those things to be cleared. So guilt can't be left to itself. It has to be dealt with in a child. Otherwise, you think about a teenager with their guilt. What you're seeing in the 12-year-old to 18-year-old class is a bunch of kids. If you look at our society, you look at our culture, you look at all these kids in that age group, they've never had their guilt dealt with. They have guilt upon guilt upon guilt, and they have no self-confidence. Think about it. When you get things right between your parents, you're like, this is pretty good. This isn't so bad. But when it's not, right, it's horrible. It's horrible. And so these children, in that age bracket nowadays, they're a mess because they had guilt. And eventually what happens is the conscience doesn't even, like, put out an APB. Like, the conscience doesn't say, well, hey, that you got to, it just becomes a mess. And that's where our young people are at today. And they're so guilty. The emotions in those young people are so crazy. I mean, they're just, well, now I think I'm this, and now I think I'm that, and I think I should do this. I mean, that's where a lot of that stuff stems from. And so I wrote a note here. Most psychological problems are rooted in guilt. And that because guilt it doesn't restore anything. There's no restoratory principle behind guilt. Guilt is one that's off scouring or off fruit of what you did wrong. It has to be dealt with. And so they think, psychologists, I was looking at a couple of them this last couple of weeks, and they view guilt as the culprit. They think guilt's the problem, and it's not. Guilt is not the problem. Guilt is the byproduct of what you did wrong. So psychology gets to a point and they say, well, you got to eliminate guilt. In other words, you should feel good with whatever you're doing. In other words, modern psychology is trying to eliminate the conscience that a young person has. Don't, when you feel guilt, no, you whatever makes you feel good. That's what they say. If it's your truth, let me speak to you of my truth. What is that? That's opinion. They don't say it right. Yeah, you can have an opinion. It's a free country. You can do what you want, right? But they say, well, let me give you my truth. And how, folks, it is nuts. It's nuts. They think that guilt is the culprit. And, you know, it's like Tim had toothache. He kind of still does. He's on antibiotics, but I think it was Friday. He gets up and it's killing him, that sort of thing. And they can't do anything yet. They got to give him antibiotics, and I don't know what they're going to do. They got to x-ray it and all that kind of stuff. But they're giving him stuff to fight the infection or the pain, but they haven't really fixed the problem, have they? That's what modern psychology is trying to do with guilt. They're trying to give a kid something to make the guilt go away, but the root problem doesn't get fixed. That's how important discipline is, the rod of correction is for the child. You think about a child. I've experienced this so much with our kids when they're little. You know, there's that contention there where it's not right between parent and child. And the child's broken the law of the house or whatever it is, you know, and there's a disconnect there. And man, you discipline that child and it would be within 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes. I'm sitting down and the child, I just corrected, comes up and they sit on daddy's lap and they just want to hold you. Am I the only one that's had that happen to my kids? Because they were guilty. They felt guilty. They didn't like that feeling. And then they had to be disciplined. They got disciplined. And now the guilt is gone because I've paid the price. And if you're not going to discipline your kids, they're going to carry around a lot of guilt with them. That's how important it is. I mean, it'd be like you and I not being able to confess our sin. It'd be like, you know, that's verse in 1 John where he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If you couldn't get that fixed, you know how terrible you'd feel? Isn't it a great relief to you when you, whether it's in the evening where, you know, you're playing through your day and it's like, wow, Lord, that was that sin there. I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, can you forgive me of that? And he does. And you get things right, and the fellowship's good. That's what it's. That's why God instituted these things. He knows how the human mind works, and the heart, and emotion. Those things are in there. Guilt is part of your DNA. It was put in there by God, because the conscience bears out when a wrong act occurs. It will be associated with guilt. I mean, look at this thing. Go to the Old Testament. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 21. I'm trying to go slow and put it out so you can really kind of digest it, take it in. Because that's when you look at the failure in our society, and it is. You know, it's a problem of, well, our society doesn't honor Christ. They're not saved. You know, none of that stuff is in there. But there used to be a time. I was telling a guy the other day, I was talking to him about some of these things. And I said, you know, I grew up in a household. My parents were not saved when I was a kid. But they still did a lot of things right. They disciplined us on a regular basis. They made corrections. They instructed, right? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 21 in relationship to this thing of guilt. Look in verse number, Deuteronomy 21, verse number 9. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Now, it's from verses 1 to verse number 9, which is the verse I read you. That has to do with putting away the guilt of what? What he's talking about from verses 1, look at verse number 1. If one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and be not known who hath slain him, then the elders and the judges, they're looking at a guy here who has murdered somebody. And so now he says, you know how you get rid of the guilt in the land is you have to take him out and stone him. In other words, something has to be paid to clear the guilt. And until that thing is done, until that, you know, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, that's kind of what he's talking about here. It has to do with capital punishment. Those things, you know, we don't correct those things as a society. Those are bad. There's people on, you know, in prison for life for murder. Well, that's a bad reflection on the country, because the Bible teaches us if someone kills somebody, first degree murder, they ought to be put to death themselves. And it cleanses the land of the guilt. We have people that sit in jails for decades. We feed them 3 meals a day. I think they get TV there. I don't know. I've talked to Stephen about it. I don't know what all they get, but, huh? Tablets, TV, they get all this stuff. And God said you should put them to death. See that getting rid of the guilt problem. This that's why we're backwards, upside down as a country. You know, our forefathers, when they wrote the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the name Jesus Christ doesn't show up one time. Because our forefathers just they didn't have any unction. We'll preach about it in the next sermon here coming up. They had no unction to say, you know, let's put his name in there. Let's say, yeah, this is what we want to do. And they did. And when it comes to things of this nature, this guilt that we're looking at, and the blood and all that kind of stuff, they didn't put it in check. And so therefore, we're guilty. Guilt unchecked or dealt with in accordance to God's instruction has caused child to declare nobody likes me. We've been over the ground. That child doesn't like themselves. Guilt in that child, when a child starts to, there's an internal struggle there between their conscience and what they did, and that guilt, it rises up, and that child doesn't even like themselves because I've done this wrong and this wrong and this wrong, and I haven't paid anything for it. The conscience teaches the child there's payment to be made. People know there's a judgment. It's appointed on the man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Most people believe in karma. Most people believe it. Well, I'm going to reap what I sow. Right? That's equipment that's put in a child. There's a judgment. There's a payment for that. So that's why that guilt builds up, and that child needs to pay for that. And if that child does not pay for that guilt, that thing runs its course. It wreaks havoc on the child. Guilt is God-given. It's a God-given thing. It's the healthy response to the offense, but it can't be left alone. A timeout won't fix this. A go to your corner won't fix it. Listen, as a sidebar, you can't lower the standards due to the guilt that it may cause. Keep your standards high, parents. I know parents who have lowered the standards, and to lower the standards, well, maybe a kid's guilty for 7 or 8 offenses if the standards are high, but you drop them down and maybe it's 2 or 3. I would rather leave the standards high and deal with the consequences of the guilt, right? And try to, I mean, Brother Noe, he preached a message, and I've never forgotten it to this day. That's probably 40 years ago, 38, 40 years ago, he preached. He said, you make a mountain out of a molehill as a parent. He said, leave the standards high. Leave them way up there. So, you know, when you were dealing with this idea of guilt, guilt and type is, and in type, when you look at the parent in the whole equation of child rearing, the parent is like God. And God can absolve you and I of sin. As a Catholic, I was raised in a Catholic church, and the priest wanted to absolve me of my sins, and I found out in the scriptures he couldn't. He's just full of baloney. And so, but the picture or the type there is when a parent disciplines the child, uses the rod of correction, you absolve that child of whatever that child has done. That's the type. That's the parallel. Because that needs to be, for a child, is something that child needs to see to help them when they look at God. That parent, like God, can absolve a child of guilt, allowing him to be cleansed of the offense. That's important. That's what I said. You know, you discipline the child, and the child now, you and the child, you're tight, man. You're on the same page. They're trying to follow you. You're trying to be the parent and all that kind of stuff. And there's, you know, when you have things right or righteousness, then you have peace. Righteousness always precedes the peace. But when things are right between you and your kids, you should have peace. And the child prefers it that way, and the parent should want it that way. And that's what you have. It's almost like a fresh start, isn't it? When that child does something wrong, they get caught, they've got guilt with it addressed, and then you address it, and now it's like, man, it's a clean start. You know what that's a picture of? I'm a new creature in what? In Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. It's a picture of a clean slate. All these things are modern vernacular, we say they're triggers for what? Toward salvation. Help that child understand those things when they see them. Those things are important. Look over at Proverbs chapter 20. I said all that this morning just to get to this one verse, because understanding all these things about guilt, understanding about what this correction is, it might help you understand this verse a little bit better. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. This was a hard, when I was a young parent, this was hard for me to understand. And so we'll look at verse number 30. Proverbs 20, verse 30. It says, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes, the inward part of the belly. That is a hard verse. What that verse is alluding to is, a blueness of a wound is, that's the bruising. That a wound, you have a wound, I got a couple bruises on me. That blueness is an indication of, if something's been hit, something's been, something whacks you, this, that. That blueness is a broken blood vessel, blood that's got in it, and you can see it. The blueness of a wound, he says what? Cleanseth away evil. So parents, that discipline at times may produce a blueness to it. Because you'd be like, oh, what is that? Oh, man, that was a struggle for me. And I had to tell myself, well, the scriptures tell me there that cleanses away evil. If I'm going to cleanse away evil, at time and again, there may be some blueness connected to that discipline. And the second part of that, so do stripes, the inward parts of the belly. That's a type of Jesus Christ in the second half there. When Christ bore the sins of the world, when he took that whip and that whip would come around him and rip his belly open, rip his back open. What was that for? For my sins, for your sins. So discipline at times will be difficult. You're not, the way I look at this verse is, sometimes you may leave a mark on your child's rear end. Well, that's, how could you're bruising your child. And think about that. Part of you is going, man, brother, I don't know if I can do that. I'm just telling you what it said. The Bible is sometimes, look at it, there's part of you, and like I said, I'm getting older now, I'm a grandfather, so it's different. When you're a grandfather, you have a lot more estrogen and very little of the, what's that? Testosterone. I got low T. When you become a grandparent, you got low T. You're like, man, come on, he don't need that. And then I read a verse like that and I go, okay. You're right, I'm wrong. It's the same. Preacher, what are you saying this morning? What I'm saying is verse number 30. Sometimes it's going to leave a mark. I think there's, I think that's why, as we used to say in days of old, you take the rod of correction and apply it to the seat of understanding. The seat of understanding. He talks about, we've given you other verses last week or two about you're going to beat him B times. And folks, this is something you have to come to grasp with if you want your children to be trained in the light of the scriptures. Sometimes that's where it takes it. I learned just with my children, the correction had to equal the offense, and the correction had to take that child to a place where they were broken in their spirit because they need to line up with what you laid down as the law. And it's a hard place to be. It's a hard place to be. All I'm telling you is that verse is, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. They say if you don't discipline the child, he'll end up in a bad place. He'll end up in the electric chair. He'll end up no response toward authority. In other words, just going crazy everywhere. I mean, if the choice was maybe leaving a bruise here and there occasionally. Not that, listen to me, let me make it clear, not that that's my intention. I never struck my kids hoping to bruise them. That would be wrong. Right? It's not that I'm after that. But she'd change a diaper, give a kid a bath, and like, whoa, okay. Need to watch out for that. But that's how it is. That's how it is. Think about it. Joseph's brothers confessed that they were guilty of what they did to him in Genesis chapter. You find guilt. I ran all the verses on guilt and guilty in the Bible, and just kind of I take those in while I'm looking at this thing of guilt. But a child has to be relieved of guilt. The guilt, if you study in Genesis chapter 42, I think it is, yeah, the first 12 verses there, you start to look at that thing. Joseph's brothers were a wreck because of their guilt of what they did to their brother. And each one was a different. Each one's perspective was different. You look at Reuben, a couple of the other guys, Gad, you look at their how what they had to say about what, oh, you know, really, he's tearing his clothes off, gone. He was like, what'd you do? Because he wasn't there when they took Joseph and all that kind of stuff. They go to see Joseph, of course, in Egypt, don't know who he is. And yet now they have all, you got the picture of all this guilt, and now they're just tore up. They go back to their father and say, hey, if we don't take Benjamin, this guy's going to kill us, all this kind of, all that guilt. They worried about everything. Brother Ruckman used to say it like this. I'll close it like this. Brother Ruckman says every time he couldn't find something, he thought somebody stole it. He'd be looking for his car. Someone stole it. You know, he's looking for this or that. He said, someone stole it. He says, you know why I did that? He says, because I was a thief before I got saved. I would steal people's stuff. Brother Ruckman, before he got saved, he broke in a house to steal a Bible because he needed a Bible. He's drunk one night looking. I need a Bible. I got to read a Bible. He breaks into a guy's house to get a Bible, and he's reading it at his apartment. So he had a conscience and guilt problem with what? Thievery. Someone had to take it. Where's my phone? Someone took my phone. You got a little conscience problem there, brother? A little guilt complex? Folks, that's the importance of a discipline of children, is it helps them with their guilt. When you have a child that's not guilt-ridden or feel guilty, man, they're a whole lot better to be around, that's for sure. They're not going to badmouth them, say, nobody likes me, no one cares about me, I'm no good, all that. Children say that because they got a guilt complex. All right, we'll take a break then.